Haftarah from Parshas Vayechi comes from Sefer Malachim Aleph, Perek Beis. In the Parshas Vayechi, we learn about the end of the life of Yaakov Avinu and how he instructed his children before his passing. So too, Sefer Malachim Aleph, Perek Beis, before the Ptira, before the passing of Dovid HaMelech, he instructs his son Shlomi HaMelech about what he should do after his passing. Naftarah begins, Vayikrivu Yimei David Lomos, and it came close the days of David to pass away. Vayitzavis Shlomo Yvinoi Leimor, and he commanded Shlomo his son, saying, Anoichi Hoylaich Bederech Kol Haaretz, I am now going to go in the way of the entire land, the way in which all people go, they pass on from this world. Vechazakta V'hoyisoloish, and you should be strong, and you should be for a man. Shlomo was a young boy at the time. Shlomo and David HaMelech tells his son Shlomo that because Aktov Ha'Yisrael is, you should be strong, you should be for a man. You should guard the laws of Hashem your God, Aleches Bidrochav, to go in his ways, Lishmar Chukaisav, to keep his chukim, his commandments, mitzvoisav, other kinds of mitzvois, Mishpatav, and his laws, Ve'idvoisav, and his testimonies. As is written in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, L'ma'an taskil eis kol asher tase, so that you'll be successful in whatever you do, v'eis kol asher tifne shaman, in whichever way you turn. So David HaMelech, before his passing, is on his deathbed, he tells his son Shlomo that I'm going to pass away from this world, but you should go on, you should be strong, you should be a man, and you should keep all the ways of the Torah, make sure to guide every type of mitzvah, every type of commandment that Hashem gave us in the Torah. You should be sure to keep it and to observe it, and with that you will be successful in all that you do. If you go back to Pasuk Beis, David HaMelech says, Anoichi hoylech b'derech kol ha'aretz. And the simple reading of the Pasuk indicates that this is not part of David HaMelech's charge to Shlomo, his instructions to Shlomo. Rather, this is an introduction. He's informing Shlomo, Anoichi hoylech b'derech kol ha'aretz, I am going in the ways of all the land. Abba Benel says that David was actually trying to comfort Shlomo and telling him, don't be so sad after my passing. This is the way of every man. Every man goes and passes on from this world. So you shouldn't be so disturbed after my passing. The Chassam Sofer says an interesting thing. Chassam Sofer says that actually we can understand that this was actually part of David HaMelech's instructions to Shlomo. So normally, a person passes on from this world and he becomes stagnant. A person has the opportunities in this world to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs, to grow in his Avodas Hashem. And such a person is a hoylech. He's going, he's accomplishing, he's becoming a greater person in his life. He's proceeding. However, when a person passes from this world, we know that a person can no longer fulfill any mitzvahs. He can no longer learn Torah. So at that point, the person's stationary, he's oymed, he stops. He stops in his accomplishments and all that he accomplished in this world. However, the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that that's not the case for everyone. There's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Chav Gimel, the pasuk says in Pasuk Chav, source number 2 on the source sheet, Uvenayahu ven Yehoyado ben Ishchai Rav Pe'olim. Pasuk says, talking about Benayahu ben Yehoyada, one of the officers of David HaMelech, that he was a Ben Ishchai, the Pasuk calls him. And the Pasuk goes on to speak more about Benayahu ben Yehoyada. And the Gemara says in source number 3, page number 2, Gemara in Brachis, Daf Yechesim Abayz 18b says, Ben Ishchai, the Gemara dashes this entire Pasuk, goes on these words, Ben Ishchai, it says he's the son of a live man, says the Gemara, Otu Kuli Alma B'nei Mason Hu. Are the rest of the world, everyone else, are sons of dead people? They're born from dead men. Is that the rest of the world? We have to talk about Benayahu ben Yehoyada as a Ben Ishchai, that is the son of a live man. That means everyone else is the son of dead people. Elo, rather, Ben Ishchai. What does it mean? He's the son of a live man. Sha'afilu b'misosoi koroi chai. He was the son of Yehoyada. Yehoyada was the head of the Sanhedrin. Yehoyada was a great tzaddik and a great Talmud Chacham. And therefore, even in his death, even after his passing, Benayahu, his son, was still called Ben Ishchai, the son of a live man. Because even after the death of Yehoyada, since he was a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, a great person, even in his death, he was still considered, he was still called a live man. Why is that? Chazal tell us that when a person accomplishes in this world and he leaves over children, he leaves over Talmidim, students who follow in his ways, who they continue his ways based on his example, so that person is still considered alive. Such a person can still accomplish even after his death. Even though normally a person can't actually himself learn Torah and do mitzvahs after his passing, after his death. But if a person leaves over students, he leaves over children who follow in his ways, and they act the way they do, they follow the Torah the way they do because of his example, because of the way he taught them, and because of the way he inspired them, so then it's considered like he is still living. He can still accrue merits, he can still get more zchusim, get more merits, even after his patira, even after his death, because he left over those who follow in his ways. According to that, says the Chazam Sofer, if you go back to the Pasuk, we can understand that al pidrush that David HaMelech was saying to Shlomo, Anoichi hoileich, I want to be a hoileich, even after my passing, even b'derech kol ha'aretz, even when I go in the way of all the land, even when I pass on from this world, Anoichi hoileich, Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo my son, make it be that I'll be a hoileich, I'll still be accomplishing and getting more and more zchusim and merits, even when b'derech kol ha'aretz, even after I go in the way of all the land, even when I pass on for this world, it's up to you. You have the ability to make me a hoileich. You have the ability to make me continue to grow and to accomplish, to get more and more zchusim, even after my passing. How is that? The next pasuk says, v'shamartos mishmeres Hashem Elokecha, that as the pasuk continues to say, if you follow the ways of Hashem, if you continue to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs, to follow in my ways even after my passing, then you will make that I should be a hoylech, that anoichi hoylech, I'll still be a hoylech, I'll still be accomplishing and growing even after my passing through you following in my ways, through you following the Torah based on what I taught you and based on my example. That is the mahalif, that's the approach of the Chassam Sofer in reading this pasuk. Let's move on to source number 4 on page number 2. David HaMelech continues to tell his son Shlomo that you should keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, Laman, so that Yokim Hashem is Devoroi, Hashem will keep his word, Asher Diber Olai Lemor, that he spoke upon me, saying, Em Yishmeru Vonecho es Darkom, if your children will guard their ways, Lo Leches Lefonai Be'emes, to go in front of me with truth, B'chol Levavim, B'chol Nafshom, with all their hearts and with all their souls, Lemor, saying, Lo Yikoreis Lecho Ishmei Al Kisei Yisroel, that a man will not be cut off from your offspring, from on the throne, from on the seat of the Jewish people. Says David HaMelech to his son Shlomo, if you keep the Torah, if you observe the mitzvahs, then Hashem will fulfill his word, he'll keep his promise that he promised to me, saying that if your children follow in my ways, if they continue to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, so then I guarantee you that they will continue to be the kings of the Jewish people, they will continue to follow in your ways, to sit on your throne, the throne of the kingdom of the Jewish people, and they will be the kings over the Jewish people. The Brisker Rav makes an important observation in this pasuk. If you look at the pasuk, this seems to be a repetition. The word lemoir appears twice. David HaMelech is saying over, seemingly, what Hashem told him, what Hashem promised him, what happened to his children if they keep the ways of the Torah. And the pasuk starts all fine. L'man yokim Hashem es devorei asher dibor alai lemor, so that Hashem will keep, fulfill his word that he spoke about me, saying. Now presumably, the rest of the pasuk should be telling us what Hashem said. And it starts off like that, in Yishmeru vanecho es darkom, so on and so forth. Until we get to b'chol levavim, b'chol nafshom, with all their hearts and with all their souls, then the word lemor appears again. Lemor lo yikoris l'cho ish me'al kisei Yisroel, saying that no man will be cut off from on the throne of the Jewish people, that your children will continue to be kings in the Jewish people. However, the word lemor, second word lemor, seems to be superfluous, seems to be extra, seems to be just a continuation of what Hashem's promise was, that if they keep the Torah and do the mitzvahs, then they will continue to be the kings over the Jewish people. There are those who say that the reason the word lemor is repeated, since it was a very long pasuk, David HaMelech was saying over to his son Shlomo what Hashem told him, it was very long, so therefore the word lemor is repeated. But the Brisker Rav says there's another idea over here, and he points out that we actually find in various places a seeming contradiction in the words of Hashem to David HaMelech about what will happen with his progeny, with his children. On one hand, our pasuk seems to indicate that the promise, the shvuah that Hashem made to David, that his children will continue to be the kings over the Jewish people, is not guaranteed, it's not absolute. It's dependent upon them keeping the Torah. They'll keep the Torah, then they'll continue to be the kings, they'll continue to sit on his throne. If Chas v'Shalom they don't keep the Torah, then there's no promise, no guarantee. And we find a similar idea in Tehillim, the Brisker Rav points out, Perek Kuf Lamed Beis 132, Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, source number 5 on the source sheet. Hashem says, David HaMelech says over in Tehillim, what Hashem told him, he says, Nishba Hashem le David MS. Hashem took an oath, he swore to David, in truth, Lo Yoshuv Mimeno, I will not turn back from it, Mipri Vitnecho Oshis Lechisei Loch, from your children, from the fruit of your womb, from your children, I will place on your throne. However, Pasuk Yud Beis continues, Im Yishmeru Vanecho Virisi, if your children will guard my covenant, Ve'edoisi Zua Lamedein, and this my testimony that I will teach them, Gam B'neihem Adayad, their children for all future generations, Yeshvu Lechisei Loch, they will sit on your throne. And the message that David HaMelech is giving over here seems to be pretty clear, that Hashem's Shavuah, Hashem's promise to him, that his children will continue to be kings over the Jewish people, it's contingent upon them keeping the Torah. If they keep the Torah, then they'll continue to sit on your throne. And it sounds like if not, Michlal Heinat Hashemei Alav, from the fact that it tells us what will be, we can understand what will happen if they don't keep the Torah, then they won't, there's no guarantee that they'll continue to be kings. And that seems to follow with our pasuk in Sefer Melachim, which says that the future of the progeny of David, of the children of David, whether they'll be kings or not, is dependent upon whether they keep the Torah or not. However, if we look on page number 3, source number 6, we see a different pasuk in Tehillim. This is Tehillim, Perek Pei Tes, 89, Psukim Dalet and Hey, 4 and 5. Korati v'risle v'chiri. David HaMelech says in Tehillim that Hashem said that I have made a covenant l'v'chiri with my chosen one, Nishbati l'dovid avdi, which is that I have sworn to David my servant. What's the Shvuah? What's Hashem's covenant and His promise? Ad oylom ochin zarecho. Forever I will establish your children of onisi l'dor v'dor kisach oselo. And I'll build up your future generations on your throne, Selah, forever. There's no stipulation, no conditions. Hashem, David HaMelech says that Hashem made a covenant, Hashem swore to him, made a shvuah, that his children will always remain on his throne, will always continue to kings over the Jewish people. Says the Brisker Rav, how are we to reconcile these two psukim in Tehillim? One pasuk in Tehillim seems to indicate that Hashem's promise to David HaMelech is dependent upon his children keeping the Torah, and yet we have another pasuk here which tells us that there's a promise without any conditions that the children of David HaMelech will continue to sit on the throne of the Jewish people. And the Brisker Rav says that if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, you'll actually find that he alludes to this. But there's really two different ideas, two different promises that Hashem made to David HaMelech. One promise was that there will always be, as long as the Jewish people have a king, there will always be a king from the family of David, from the Davidic dynasty, the progeny of David, there will always be a king from the children of David HaMelech. However, it's not guaranteed that they'll rule over the entire Jewish people. The privilege to rule over the entire Jewish people is dependent upon them keeping the Torah and mitzvahs. If the children of David HaMelech keep the Torah and the mitzvahs properly, then they're promised, they have a guarantee from Hashem that they'll rule over the entire Jewish people. However, if they don't, Chas v'Shalom, they don't keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, then although they'll continue to be a king from the progeny of David, from the Davidic dynasty, they'll always continue to be a king. However, they won't rule over the entire Jewish people. As we find later on, after the times of Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, we see that the kingdom of the Jewish people was split. It was Yeravam ben Nevat took over the northern kingdom with the ten Shvatim, and Rechavam ben Shlomo was left with only Yehuda and Benyamin, with only the smaller part of the Jewish people. Sefer says the Brisker Rav is actually two different promises, two different guarantees that Hashem made to David HaMelech. There's one guarantee that there'll always be a king from the children of David HaMelech, and that's not dependent upon them keeping the Torah and the mitzvahs, even if they don't. However, there's another promise which is dependent upon keeping the Torah and the mitzvahs, and that is that if they do keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, they'll rule over the entire Jewish people, not just a small part of the Jewish people, not just Yerushalayim and some of the Shvatim, but if they keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, they'll rule over the entire Jewish people. Says the Brisker Rav that that's how we can explain our pasuk as well. He says that first the pasuk says, Leimorim yishmiru vanecho as darkom lalechas lefonai be'emes b'chol levavim b'chol nafshom, is one promise which Hashem said that if the children of David HaMelech, they keep the Torah, they go in front of me, b'emes, with truth, with all their hearts and with all their souls, they keep to their Torah and they stick to it, then there's one promise. And that's the promise that then they'll rule over the entire Jewish people. Their kingdom won't be limited. However, there's a second promise, which David HaMelech says over to his son Shlomo, Leimor. There's a separate promise, a separate statement from Hashem, which is Leimor saying, Lo yikoris lecha ish mi'al kisi Yisrael. Even if they will not keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, still, there's a promise, a guarantee, Lo yikoris ish mi'al kisi Yisrael, there'll always be a king from the children of David HaMelech. They will always sit on his throne. There will always be kings. As long as there are kings of the Jewish people, there will be a king from the family of David who will sit on his throne, which that is not dependent upon them keeping the Torah and the mitzvahs. Let's move on a little further. Source number 7 on page 3. The Gama Toyodato continues David HaMelech to his son Shlomo. You also know. The simple explanation of the word vegam and also means not only do I know, but you know as well. Es asher oso li Yoyov ben Tzruya, that which Yoyov the son of Tzruya did to me. Asher oso l'shnei sorei tzivos Yisrael, that which he did to the two officers of the army of the Jewish people. L'avner ben Ner, to Avner the son of Ner, v'la'amoso ben Yeser, and to Amoso the son of Yeser, v'yahar game, and he killed them. V'yosem dimei melchoma b'sholim, and he placed the blood of war in peace. According to Rashi and Mitzudis, is slightly different explanations. What does it mean he placed the blood of war in peace? Either that he killed people as if in war, people who were expecting, who were at peace with him, they weren't expecting anything. They had no idea that Yoav would do anything to them. Both Avner ben Ner and Amos ben Yeser, they weren't expecting Yoav to go after them. So he's bloods of war, b'shalim, people who were at peace with him, who weren't expecting anything. Or alternatively, that he placed bloods of war in peace instead of taking the lives of people who were at war with David HaMelech, Dumei Melchama, bloods of war, he took the lives of people B'shalim who were at peace with David HaMelech, both Avner ben Ner and Amos ben Yeser at the time when Yoav killed them were both at peace with David HaMelech. He placed the bloods of war in his belt, Asher b'maslav, that's on his loins, uvenaloi, Asher b'raglov, and in the shoe that was on his foot. According to Bitsudais, both of these refer to the killing of Amosov and Yeser, that Yoav affixed his sword to his side in an abnormal way, in such a way that it should fall off. As the Navi tells us in Sefer Shmuel Beis, in Perek Chaf, that Yoav affixed his sword to his side in such a way that it should fall out easily, and then when he encountered Amasa, he leaned down in such a way that his sword should fall out, and then he went to pick it up. Amasa wasn't expecting anything, he thought that his sword had just fallen, and when he went down to pick it up, he picked it up, and he killed Amasa right away. So the Mitzudis understands that both of these ideas, Bechagai Rosai Asher B'masnov, and his belt that was on his loins, which is referring to the abnormal placement of his sword on his side, and the shoe that was on his foot, he bent down as if to tie his shoe or something, so that his sword would fall out, and then he had the opportunity to kill Amasa. Both are referring to the killing of Amasa. Rashi brings that Uvanali Shebiraglov is actually referring to the way in which he killed Avner ben Ner, which is spoken about earlier on in Sefer Shmuel, that Yoav asked Avner halachi question about chalitza, how a woman without hands would be able to do chalitza, and when Avner bent down to show Yoav, to demonstrate what the procedure would be, that's when Yoav killed him. So Vanali Asher B'raglov, he made this deception with how the woman who's doing chalitza would take off the shoe. That's how he deceived Avner and was able to kill him. So David HaMelech tells Shlomo, you know what Yoav ben Tzruya has done. The beginning of the pasuk says, "Asher also li Yoav ben Tzruya." What Yoav ben Tzruya did to me. The simple understanding is that what Yoav ben Tzruya did to me, Asher also li Yoav ben Tzruya. What Yoav ben Tzruya did to me. What did he do? Asher also shnei sorei tzivos Yisrael. That which he did to these two officers, to Avner ben Ner and to Amos ben Yeser. Avner ben Ner had originally been in the camp of Shaul and Shaul's son before he made peace with David. Amos ben Yeser had been with Avshalom in his rebellion against David. But David had been at peace with them at the point when Yoav killed them, and therefore David says to Shlomo, you know what he did to me? He killed people who I was at peace with. David had wanted to make Amos ben Yeser the general of his army in place of Yoav. So David was upset. He considered Yoav's actions to be a rebellion against him, and therefore David says to his son Shlomo, "You know what he did to me, and therefore, as we're going to see, he deserves to die." The Mefarshim bring from the Medrash, Tanchuma says, "Asher also the Yoav ben Tzruya." There's actually two different things. There's one thing that Yoav ben Tzruya did to David HaMelech besides for killing Avner ben Ner and Amos ben Yeser. What was that? The Navi in Shmuel Beis talks about the incident with David and Uriah with Bathsheba. David sent Uriah out to war, and he sent him with a message to Yoav. And the message to Yoav was that he should put Uriah on the front lines in the hopes that Uriah would be killed by the enemy. So the Mefarshim bring from Chazal, from the Medrash Tanchuma, that Yoav publicized that message. Asher also li Yoav ben Tzruya, what Yoav ben Tzruya did to me, that he publicized the message that David HaMelech had sent to him, had sent to Yoav, and because of that, they have caused the great embarrassment, the great disgrace to David HaMelech. That's what David was referring to when he said, "Asher also li Yoav ben Tzruya," that which Yoav ben Tzruya did to me. Pasuk Vav continues, "V'asisa kechachmasecha," you should do, act based on your wisdom, "V'loisoyreid seivasoy b'shalim she'oil," and don't let him go down in peace in his old age to his grave. You should ensure he doesn't die a natural death to go down to the grave in peace. Rather, you should have him killed. And the obvious question is that if David HaMelech felt that Yoav should be killed, why didn't he kill him himself in his own life? Why does he only command Shlomo HaMelech to kill Yoav? Why didn't Shlomo kill him himself? And the Ababinel alludes to this question, and he says that David was muchrach, he had to keep Yoav alive, he needed him. The Sefer Shar Bas Rabim, he expounds upon this, and he says there's actually a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin which tells us that that David HaMelech needed Yoav. There's a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin which answers this question. It says before the pasuk in Shmuel says number 8 on the source sheet. Pasuk says, "Vayim loich David al kol Yisrael." David ruled over the entire Jewish people. "Vayihi David oisem mishpat utzlokol lechol amoy." And David carried out justice and righteousness for the entire nation. The next pasuk says, "Vayoyov ben Tzruya atzava." Yoyov, the son of Tzruya, he was in charge of the army. He was the general of the army. Yoshafat ben Achilud Mazkir. Yoshafat ben Achilud, he was the recorder. So the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin says, page number 4 of the source sheet, it's actually source number 9. The number 9 is on the bottom of page 3. The Gemara is actually on page 4. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, and he says, "El Moli David, like also Yoav Milchama. If not for David, Yoav would not have been able to be successful at war. Bel Moli Yoav, like also David Batayra. And if not for Yoav, David would not have been able to be involved in learning Torah." How do we know that? He quotes the pasuk that we just learned. It says, "Vayihi David oisem mishpat utzlokol lechol amoy." David carried out judgment and righteousness for an entire nation. But Yoav ben Tzruya al hatzava, Yoav the son of Tzruya, he was in charge of the army. So he explains the juxtaposition of the psukim. Matam David oisem mishpat utzlokol lechol amoy. Why was David able to carry out justice and righteousness for the entire nation? Mishum the Yoav al hatzava, because Yoav was in charge of the army. What does that mean? David's times, there was a lot of wars. There were a lot of wars that had to be fought. There were a lot of enemies who had to be dealt with. And therefore, David needed a good general, someone to be in charge of his army, so that those wars could be fought, and David HaMelech wouldn't have to be concerned, wouldn't have to be worried about fighting them. He'd be able to be Isaac Batayra. So therefore, in order for David to be able to carry out justice and righteousness, who was able to be the king over the Jewish people, to learn to be Isaac Batayra, learn Torah, and give halachic rulings, he was only able to do that because Yoav Alatzova, because he had Yoav, who was in charge of his army, who was a general over his army, and he didn't have to worry about that. Matam Yoav Alatzova, Mishum the David Isaac Mishpot, Stokol Chalamoy. Why was Yoav able to be successful at battle? Because David did justice, carried out justice and righteousness to the entire nation. Says the Sefer Shar Bas Rabim, we see from here that David, who lived on a time of war, he needed a general like Yoav, who was capable, who was able to lead the army and be successful in battle. David had no choice but to leave Yoav alive. He needed him to run the army in order for him to be successful at war, in order for David to be able to learn Torah. However, in the times of Shlomo, things were much more peaceful. Shlomo HaMelech did not have to fight as many wars as David HaMelech. So therefore, David said to Shlomo, "In the time of your kingdom, Yoav will be more disposable. You'll be able to get rid of him. You don't need him as much, and therefore you can actually kill him. I did not have the ability to do that because I needed him." The pasuk continues, source number 10, on page 4. "V'hine imcha shimi ven geira ven hayemini mi bachurim." Says David HaMelech to his son Shaul, "With you is Shimi the son of Geira ben Hayemini from Shevet Binyamin mi Bachurim, a place called Bachurim. Vuhu kililani kilolo nimretzes." And he, kilolani usually means the curse over here. Mefarshim explain that vuhu kililani, that he disgraced me. Kilolo nimretzes, a very strong way. B'yom lechti machanoyim, at the time when I was going to machanoyim, this took place at the time when David HaMelech was running away from his son Avshalom. Avshalom was trying to take over the kingdom. David HaMelech was forced to run away. And at that time, he met up with Shimi ben Gera, as is spoken about as well in Sefer Shmuel, in Perek Tes Zayin, Shmuel Beis, Perek Tes Zayin. The story is recorded that David HaMelech met up with Shimi ben Gera. And when Shimi ben Gera saw David, he began to disgrace him. He began to tell him that Hashem is holding you responsible for all the blood of the family of Shaul that was shed. It's your fault because you wanted to take over the kingdom, and therefore you deserve what's coming to you. You deserve that your son Avshalom should rebel against you and you should have to run away from him. And he went on and on and on, and he threw stones and dirt at David HaMelech, and he disgraced him in a terrible way. So it says David HaMelech, at the time of his petira, at the time of his passing to his son Shlomo, Shimi ben Gera, you know what he did to me, that he disgraced me, he embarrassed me when I was going to Machanoyim. And I met up with him again later. After Avshalom was killed, I met up with Shimi ben Gera again. That he came opposite me at the Yardain. And I swore to him by Hashem, saying, "I will not kill you." As is recorded in Sefer Shmuel Beis as well, later on, that David swore to Shimi ben Gera that he would not kill him. However, it says David to his son Shlomo, Pasuk Tes, "V'atah, now, al tenakehu," don't let him get away. Don't let him get away free. "Ki ish chochamata," you are a wise man. "V'yodatah is asher taseloi," you know what you should do to him. "V'hiratah yasei vasoi bedom she'oil," and you should bring down his old age, bedom, with blood, she'oil, to the grave. Don't let him die a natural death again. Again, you should make sure to have him killed. So, David commands his son Shlomo, he reminds him of what Shimi ben Gera had done to him, and he tells him, "It's your responsibility, it's your job to make sure that Shimi ben Gera gets what he deserves, that he's put to death. Don't let him die a natural death, rather make sure to come up with a way that you should kill him." In Pasuk, if we go back to Pasuk Ches for a moment, Pasuk starts off, "V'hine imcha Shimi ben Gera," with you is Shimi the son of Gera. What's the word imcha doing here? With you is Shimi ben Gera. What did David mean when he told his son Shlomo, "With you is Shimi ben Gera"? Chazal tell us that the word imcha, number of Mepharshim bring it here on the Pasuk, that the word imcha is to tell us, referring to the fact that Shimi ben Gera was actually the Rebbe. He was the teacher of Shlomo HaMelech. And David HaMelech points out, as he's telling Shlomo to make sure to kill Shimi ben Gera, he tells him, "V'hinei imcha, together with you is your Rebbe, Shimi ben Gera." Yet, despite the fact that he's your Rebbe, he had embarrassed me, kilolani klolo nimretzes, he embarrassed me, he disgraced me in a great way, and therefore you should make sure to kill him. And the obvious question is, why would David HaMelech introduce, when he's about to tell Shlomo to make sure that he kills Shimi ben Gera, why would he introduce it with telling him that he's your Rebbe? This question is asked by Reb Chaim Kanievsky in a Sefer Time Dekra, and he asks another number of other questions as well. He says, first of all, why is David HaMelech telling Shlomo that it's your Rebbe? When he's about to tell him to kill him, he tells him it's your Rebbe. Second of all, if that's what Shimi ben Gera did to David HaMelech, why did he make him Shlomo's Rebbe? There weren't sufficient Talmidei Chachamim around for him to find a different Rebbe for Shlomo, someone who Dovid HaMelech knew that later on in life he would tell the next king to kill Shimi ben Gera. So that's who he chose to be a Rebbe for his son. That's who he chose. That's the only one he could find to be a Rebbe for his son. Why is this? And Chaim Kanievsky tells us that in the Medrash in Bereshis, in Bamidbar Rabbah, source 11 on the sheet, the Medrash tells us what were David's intentions when he told Shlomo to kill Yoav and to kill Shimon ben Gera. What did he have in mind? What was the purpose? This is what he has to tell Shlomo on his deathbed. This is about killing all these people out. That's what he wanted from Shlomo HaMelech, to kill people. And the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, which Chaim Kanievsky quotes, says that V'tzivol Shlomo b'noish yaregoisa, he commanded Shlomo his son to kill Yoav. Why? Shayo Yoav ben achoisa shel David. Yoav was the nephew of David HaMelech. Tziruya was the sister of David. Yoav ben Tziruya was the son of Tziruya. He was the nephew of David. He wanted him to come to Olam Haba. David HaMelech knew that someone who's a murderer, someone who kills someone, if he dies, he's not killed, if he dies a natural death, he's not put to death because of his murder, he will not be able to go to Olam Haba. David HaMelech knew that. And he wanted the best for Yoav. Yoav, who was his nephew, wanted the best for him. He wanted him to be able to go to Olam Haba. And therefore, David HaMelech said to Shlomo, he said, listen, my whole life I couldn't kill Yoav. But now, when it comes to the end of his life, when I'm old, he's getting old, it's the end of his life as well, I want you to make sure that he gets killed. If he gets killed and he doesn't die a natural death, then he'll have the opportunity, he'll be able to go to Olam Haba. If you don't kill him, you let him die a natural death, he won't be able to go to Olam Haba. Since he's my nephew, I care about him, I want him to be able to go to Olam Haba, and therefore I ask you, please make sure you kill him, he doesn't die a natural death, and he'll be able to go to Olam Haba. Says Chaim Kanievsky, the same applied to Shimon ben Gera. Shimon ben Gera, David swore to him that he wouldn't kill him. But David wanted that Shimon should go to Olam Haba as well. He knew that because of what he had done to David, he was married by Malchus, he wouldn't be able to go to Olam Haba. He wanted him to go to Olam Haba, and therefore David commanded Shlomo that he should make sure that Shimon is put to death as well. He doesn't die a natural death, he's put to death, and this way he should be able to go to Olam Haba. However, David was concerned. Shlomo HaMelech will say to himself, Yoav, he's our relative, he's my cousin. I understand, I should make sure to put him to death so he should go to Olam Haba. Shimi? What? Why should I make it my business to kill him? Let someone else kill him. Why do I have to worry about it? Why do I have to make sure he goes to Olam Haba? For that reason, David was forward thinking. He made Shimi ben Gera be the Rebbe of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, Shlomo would care about Shimi. He was his Rebbe, he would care about him, he would want the best for him. Now, at the time when David HaMelech is about to pass away, he's about to go on, to leave this world, go to the next world, he tells his son Shlomo, V'hine imecho Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera, he's your Rebbe. You care about him. Therefore, please follow my orders and make sure that you find a way to put him to death. Don't let him die a natural death, and therefore, he'll be able to have a portion in Olam Haba. A number of Mefarshim are bothered. Why is this part of the final message to Shlomo? Why is this especially on the record? Why does this have to be part of the message of David to his son Shlomo? He's about to pass away to enact revenge against these people, against Yoav ben Tzruya and Shimon ben Gera. I think perhaps based on Reb Chaim Kanievsky's explanation, what David's real motives were, I think it sheds a lot of light on this question. David's intention wasn't to get back at them. It wasn't to take revenge for what they had done to him. David's intentions were to bring them to Olam Haba. He wanted to make sure that Yoav and Shimi ben Gera, they would be able to go to Olam Haba and they wouldn't lose Olam Haba because of what they did. And that was an important message that David, who was the present king, was giving over to Shlomo, who might have already become the king based on the events in the previous parak in Melachim Aleph. Could be that Shlomo was already the king. And David was giving over a message to Shlomo about the way a king has to be. A king has to be constantly concerned and constantly be thinking about the good of all the people in his kingdom. He always has to be looking at what's best for them. He can't let things get to him. He can't take things personally. Says David HaMelech, as he's about to leave this world, to son Shlomo, you're going to take over the kingdom. And look at the way I deal with people who rebelled against me. Look at how I deal with people who did things against me. all I want for them, I want the best for them. They should be able to go to Olam Haba. They have to be put to death. They have to. So that they should be able to go to Olam Haba. What I want the best for them. I'm always looking out that this should be the best for everyone in my kingdom. Okay? Sometimes they have to be harsh. Sometimes people have to be killed. But always to not take things personally, to let things slide, to let things go, to always be looking after the best of all the people in his kingdom. Even though Yoav ben Tseruya, he killed these Amos ben Yeser, and he killed Avner ben Ner, he did things that David considered to be rebellious. Shimi ben Gera, he disgraced Dovid HaMelech, he embarrassed him, and despite that, Dovid HaMelech says, I'm not taking it personally, I still want what's best for them. Therefore, that's the message, a fundamental idea about being a king, which Dovid HaMelech was giving over to his son Shlomo, as the kingdom changed over from Dovid to Shlomo. The important message is, the job of the king is to be concerned and to be interested with the welfare, and to look for the best for everyone in the kingdom, no matter what they do to you. Even if they did something to you, don't take it personally, let it slide, and look out for the best for everyone. Dovid HaMelech told his son Shlomo that "V'altenakehu ki yishchacham oto." You shouldn't let Shimi ben Gera get off free because you are a wise man. V'yodatoyis asher taseloi, and you'll know what to do to him. V'yodatoyis evasi b'dom she'oil, you should bring down his old age with blood to the grave. You should make sure he doesn't die a natural death, rather he's killed. So what did Shlomo HaMelech do? So you look in source number 12, later on in this perek, that the Navi tells us what actually happened. And the Pasuk tells us, Vayishlach HaMelech Vayikol Shimi. The king, now this king now is the king Shlomo, this is after the passing of Dovid HaMelech. So he sent a message, Vayikol Shimi, he called Shimi. Vayomer lo, and he said to Shimi, what was his instructions? B'nei lecho vayis b'Yerushalayim. Build for yourself a house in Yerushalayim. V'yoshav tosham, and you should live there. V'lo yiseitzei misham one ve'ono. You should not leave there. Do not go out of Yerushalayim. And Shlomo continues, V'hoyo b'yoyim tzeischa, and it'll be on the day when you'll go out of Yerushalayim. V'ovato es nachal kidron, you'll pass over nachal kidron. Yodoya teida, you should know, ki mois tomus, that you'll certainly die, domcho yivroishecha, your blood will be upon your own head, it'll be your fault. If you stay in Yerushalayim, you'll live. If you leave Yerushalayim, you'll be killed, and it'll be your fault for not following my instructions, for not following my directions, and you will be killed. And what kind of solution is this? Dovid HaMelech tells Shlomo that you should make sure that Shimi is killed. And how does Shlomo deal with that? He tells Shimi, build yourself a house in Yerushalayim and stay there, and the day when you leave, you'll die. What kind of plan is this? How is that the chachma, the wisdom of Shlomo, in a way to get rid of Shimi ben Gera? And perhaps you'll argue and you'll say, well, it worked out. If you look in the psukim later, the next pasuk says, "Vayhi miketz shalosh shanim." It was after 3 years. "Vayivrichu shnei avodim l'shimi," and two servants of Shimi ran away. El Achish ben Macha, Melech Gas. They ran away to Achish, the son of Macha, who was the king of Gas. "Vayagidu l'shimi leimor," and it was told to Shimi ben Gera. They said, "Hine avodecha v'gas." You know, your servants, they ran away. You're looking for them. We know where they are. They're b'gas. They're in Gas. So what happens? "Vayokom Shimi." Shimi got up, vayachvish his chamoyva, he saddled his donkey, vayilech gaso, and he went to Gas, el ochish, to ochish, levakish, zavodov, to go to search out for his servants and to bring them back. Vayilech Shimi went, vayovi esavodov migas, he brought his servants back from Gas. Now Shimi's in trouble. Vayugad l'shloimoy, it was told to Shloimoy, ki holach Shimi Yerushalayim Gas vayoshoiv. Shimi went from Yerushalayim to Gas and he came back. Vayishlach HaMelech, King Shloimoy sent a message. Vayikra l'Shimi, he called Shimi Vayomer Elov, and he said to him, "Halo yishbaticha v'Hashem, I made you take an oath by Hashem. V'oyed b'chal leimar, and I told you. V'yom tzeischa v'holachta ona v'ona, that at the time when you go out of Yerushalayim, here or there, wherever you go out of Yerushalayim, you doya teidak imoyis tamos. You should know that you'll be put to death. V'atoymer Elayim, you said to me, toiv hadover shamati. You said, I hear, good, it's good, I understand, it's clear, 100%, I agree." So Shlomo HaMelech says to Shimi, "You took a shvua, you took an oath that you won't leave Yerushalayim, and if you leave Yerushalayim, you accepted the terms, then I'll put you to death." So what's going on? Shlomo says to Shimi, "Now I have to put you to death." So we see that at the end of the day, it worked out. Shlomo's plan, it worked. He told Shimi not to leave Yerushalayim, that if he would leave Yerushalayim, he'd be killed. And indeed, Shimi The opportunity came, he left Yerushalayim, and Shlomo put him to death. So it worked out. But still, so it worked out. But how did Shlomo know it would work out? The plan doesn't seem to be a very solid plan. Didn't seem to be guaranteed that it would work out, that Shimei would leave Yerushalayim and he'd be killed. What was going on behind the scenes? And furthermore, Chaim Shmulevitz asks, why did Shlomo have to, we see in this pasuk Membeis, we find out a little more information, we find out not only did Shlomo command Shimei not to leave Yerushalayim, but he also made him take a shvuah. And we know that he informed him that if he leaves, then he'll be killed. Why did he have to do all that? Shlomo HaMelech, at the end of the day, he killed Shimei ben Gera. Why? Because he was married by Malchus. He rebelled against the king. The king gave him clear instructions, clear directions, not to leave Yerushalayim, and he did. So why was it necessary to add on to that, to tell him to make a shvuah, to make him swear that he won't leave Yerushalayim? Why do you need to inform him that he'll be killed? If anything, it would have made more sense to the opposite. He should have not told him that he'll be killed. Then, when he tells him that he'll be killed, it's less likely that he'll leave Yerushalayim. He knows that if he leaves Yerushalayim, he'll be killed. So why did Shlomo have to make him take a shvuah, swear, and why did he tell him that he'll be killed? And the question on Shimei as well. Shimei ben Gera, he knows that if he leaves Yerushalayim, he'll be killed. And for his two servants, he leaves Yerushalayim. Are his two servants worth more than his life? Could it be? What made Shimei leave Yerushalayim to get his two servants? How could that be? He knew that his life was on the line if he'd leave Yerushalayim, and yet he leaves to go get his two servants. What's this all about? And Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichus Musar explains that we see from here a very important idea. And that is, there are people who live in Yerushalayim for their entire lives. They never leave the city of Yerushalayim. And they live a nice, pleasant, tranquil life in Yerushalayim. But the reason why it's so pleasant for them to live in Yerushalayim and to never leave Yerushalayim is because it's by choice. Because they decided that they're going to stay there and they'll never leave. And when it's your own choice, when it's based on your own decision, then things are fine. Then there's no pressure to leave. Then you can live in peace and tranquility and you can never leave your whole life. However, when someone's commanded, when he's required, he has to do something, then it's not so pleasant anymore. When a person's told to stay in one place, you can't leave here, all of a sudden they're bound. It's like they're in jail. They're stuck. They have much more of a stronger desire. Now they feel pressured to get out. They feel stuck. They feel constricted to where they are. They feel like they're in jail and they feel like they have to get out. And this was the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech understood that the more pressure I put on Shimei ben Gera to stay in Yerushalayim, the more he'll feel like he's in jail, the more he'll feel stuck, and the more of a desire, the more likely he'll be to leave Yerushalayim. And Shlomo understood that, and therefore not only did he instruct Shimei ben Gera to stay in Yerushalayim, but he made him take a shvuah as well. He made him take an oath. And not only that, he informed him that if he leaves, he'll die. Now Shimei ben Gera feels stuck. He can't leave. He's under such pressure not to leave Yerushalayim. And therefore, when the time came and his servants ran away, Shimei was going out of his mind. He is staying here in Yerushalayim the whole time, and he's stuck here, and he can't move. He couldn't hold himself back anymore. He had to go out of Yerushalayim to go get his servants. He felt so stuck and so jailed in Yerushalayim that he had to go out to get his servants from Gas, which ultimately led to his downfall. And that was the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech indeed. David HaMelech told him, because you're a wise man, you know what to do to him. And indeed, Shlomo HaMelech fulfilled that. He was a wise man and he understood the nature of a human being. That when he feels the pressure, when he feels he's stuck, he's forced to do something, then he feels stuck. Then he feels the pressure and then he finds it very difficult to do. And therefore, Shlomo put the pressure on Shimei ben Gera and it was successful. And when it comes to observing the Torah and the mitzvah, this is something we have to keep in mind. Because if we're going to view the Torah and the mitzvahs as a burden, as restrictions, that they keep us in place, that they force us to do things, they force us to not do things, then it's going to be a tremendous pressure. We're going to feel chained, we're going to feel locked up, incarcerated. And we're going to be more likely to transgress the Averos, we're going to be more likely to not do the mitzvahs if we feel that pressure on us. But it's important to find ways to look at the Torah as opportunities, as privileges, as things that are pleasant and enjoyable. And if we look at the Torah and the mitzvahs that way, we won't view them as a burden, we won't view them as restrictions, we'll view them as something that's so pleasant, we could be like the people who live in Yerushalayim their lives, they never leave, and they're happy, and they enjoy it, because they don't view it as a burden, because they don't view it as a restriction, they view it as the greatest pleasure. If we view the Torah and mitzvahs as the greatest pleasure, and the greatest enjoyment that we can have, the greatest privilege that we have, then we'll be able to stick to it. We'll be able to stay with the Torah and the mitzvahs our entire lives. We won't feel the pressure to leave them.